Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. I'll get you to come in and grab a seat if you haven't yet. We're going to get started in a bit less than a minute. So come and get yourselves settled, and we'll get started very soon. All right. Once again, good morning and welcome to church, friends. My name is Michael. I'm one of the ministers here at Rosemeadow Anglican Church. And it's lovely to have you with us this morning. I'd like to extend a special welcome to those visiting guests for a little Apollo's baptism. We're going to do that later on in the service. That's going to be a lovely moment for us. And of course, a regular special welcome to the folks tuning in live. It's lovely to have you with us in that way. Friends, in just a moment, we're going to begin our time together with our first song. But excitingly, you may be aware that the health restrictions in New South Wales have changed, which means that we are now able, with a building at our capacity, to be able to sing together. The one restriction is that we wear a mask. So if you would like to join us in singing together as a congregation, can I ask you to put a mask on and you can join in singing the praises of our God together. If you do not have a mask, could I ask you to please refrain from singing out loud, but rather make music in your heart to the Lord. All right, friends, why don't you stand and we'll enjoy this privilege of singing together with thankfulness.
Truth that Christ through every age reach of God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice.
Please take a seat, everyone. Our friends, to clarify, we're not required to wear masks for the whole service, but only when we're singing together. So feel free to take it off in between the songs if that makes you more comfortable. Though, of course, everyone's welcome to wear a mask for as much as makes them feel comfortable. Dear friends, the Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we can be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. We ought to admit our sins to God at all times, especially when we come together like this, to give thanks for the benefits we've received from him, to offer him the praise that is due, to hear his holy word, and to ask him to supply whatever we need. And so it's appropriate that one of the first things we do together is approach the throne of our gracious God with a heart full of assurance and faith, and pray together, confessing our sins to him. We're going to do that using the words on the screen. So let's pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And friends, the good news which the Bible tells us is that God desires no one to perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. We confess our sins in response to his call, and God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the good news. And therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, friends, in just a moment, we're going to have probably one of the most exciting things happen when we gather together. We're about to have the voice of the living God ring out in our midst as the Bible is read for us. But before Tori comes up, let's pray and prepare ourselves to hear God speak to us. Let me lead us. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you pardon and... thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, today's Bible reading, the first reading is Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all that he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, who he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the names Boanerges, which means son of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off all of his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, everyone, I've just got a couple of things to bring to your attention by way of announcements. Some of it's a little bit in-house, so sorry to visitors, just have to bear with us for a little bit. We've got some family business to attend to. The first thing is next Sunday, for our regulars, is our annual general meeting, our AGM. So it'll be held here at Rosemeadow Anglican Church immediately after the service, so we're planning for it to start at 11:30. There's a couple of things for you that you need to be aware of in that. The first thing is we have now posted the audited financials for our church last financial year or last calendar year, all stuck up on the notice board there. So if that's something you're particularly interested in, you can review all of that all those details up there. They've now been audited, signed by the wardens. It's all there. That's the first thing you need to know. The second thing you need to know is it helps us plan for the AGM if, as much as possible, we can voice our intentions to nominate people for the offices of parish councillors, wardens, cinder reps, those kind of things, before the meeting. We can take nominations from the floor, but it just generally gets messier. So if we can keep our meeting as organised as possible, there are also, in one of the little plastic holdy bits next to the AGM paperwork, some intention to nominate forms. This is not in itself a nomination. That's why it says intention to nominate. It doesn't count as nominating someone just by filling in the form, and the person making the nomination needs to be present at the AGM for it to be a valid nomination. Okay? But you can make use of these forms, they're on the thing, and that will help certainly Peter plan out how the AGM works to make it run as quickly and smoothly as possible. If you've got any questions about that, feel free to grab myself or grab Peter after church, that's fine. Announcement number one. Announcement number two. Sunday after that, we've got a longtime visitor and friend of our congregation's, Graham Sedarenko from the Church Missionary Society, CMS, coming along. He'll be preaching for us that week, and he'll be encouraging us, particularly on how we can continue to support and pray for our mission partners through the Church Missionary Society, Kelly and NNR, serving the Lord in Southeast Asia. Graham will be helping us to think about how we can keep praying for them and encouraging them and supporting them, particularly when so many of their plans for ministry have been disrupted because of COVID and the way that's hit many parts of the world. Second announcement. And the third one is a little reminder. We're going to have our little memory verse competition thing today. We've been learning Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 together, and we're going to sing it one last time in a little bit. But kids, if you after the song, I'll give you the song to refresh your memories. If after the song you can get up, be brave, come up the front and use a mic to say the verse without the words in front of you. I've got a packet of Minties there I'm happy to share. If the kids need a little bit of motivation, I'm happy to open it up to an over-18s category as well, grown-ups. And there is a Minty on the line for grown-ups as well. If anyone can recite Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, I'll give you a Minty. Okay, but we'll do that after we sing it together. for now, we're going to do our Sunday Kids program. So the way this works, particularly for our visitors, is we have the kids come sit down on the colourful mat here, and Lisa's going to read a story for us and lead them in prayer that we can all listen to and be a part of as well. And then after that, kids will be returning back to sit with their families in their seats, and Lisa and her helper will be distributing some little activity sheets with some age-appropriate activities to help kids continue to engage with church beyond that moment. And we do our kids' ministries this way because all of church is for kids. We don't just want to get rid of them as soon as possible. Actually, all of church is for children too, and we want church to be a place where they're welcome and engaged. But parents, if you ever need to use any other facilities, if your kids are getting a little bit fidgety and you're feeling uncomfortable with that, we're not, but if you are, you're welcome to take them upstairs. And so up the stairs and to the right, there's a room where you can see through the glass and there's audio pumped up so you can still see and hear what's going on, but your kids have got a bit more space to run. And if you need a change table or anything like that, there's a parent's room just there. Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Too loud for me. Hi, everyone. Hi. We're all asleep. I'm going to ask someone who's a little bit older that while I'm reading, they can find a verse for me today. Is there a volunteer, or am I just going to pull a name out of my hat? Here you go, Bree. You, he can help you. All right. Let's have a look at the first picture. All right, this is where I'm going to hold the book. If you can't see it, now's your chance to move. Are you ready? Jesus wears God's kingly crown. Not far enough. Good now. Okay. Jesus knew his time had come. Soon he would be king. He doesn't look very happy about it though. To get ready for this big moment, he went to a place where he could pray. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son. Jesus worked hard praying, but the disciples were tired. And they slept as Jesus prayed. When Jesus finished him, he woke them up. He told them his time had come. Just then, dun, dun, dun. Some people who hated Jesus marched up to them. They brought soldiers with them too. These men didn't believe Jesus was God's forever king. They tied up his hands and arrested him. The soldiers and some leaders took Jesus to a place where they hit him in the face. How rude! Then they led him off to Pilate, a Roman ruler, and said, Jesus is trying to take over as king. A criminal like this should die. He should not be king. We would rather be ruled by Rome than by this pretend king. Crucify him, Pilate! Crucify him! Pilate talked to Jesus. He asked him, Are you the king? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this this world. Pilate did not think Jesus was trouble. Pilate did not think Jesus was a threat to Roman rule. Pilate may have thought to himself, if I can show the people that I am in control, maybe then they will let him go. So, Pilate had Jesus beaten. The soldiers whipped him and whipped him many times. They laughed at the idea of Jesus as king. They dressed him in a purple robe. They made him a crown out of thorns and put it on his head. They punched him and made fun of him. Hail, King of the Jews! Then Pilate tried to let Jesus go. But the people only shouted louder. They wanted to kill Jesus. They warned Pilate that the time had come. So Pilate decided to have Jesus killed. He looked out only for himself. And so, on a small hill outside the city of Jerusalem, Jesus was nailed to a cross. And what happened next? He died. You'll have to come back next week to find out what happens. That can't be the end of the story. Look at all the pages left. Now, Bree, have you got that verse ready? Did you read it quietly in your head? Would you like to come over to the microphone so everyone can hear you, even everyone at home?
But this has taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples that deserted him and fled.
So, that was how Jesus had to be king. They had written about it all in the first half of the Bible, and now it was happening. Let's see next week how he becomes king. Can we close our eyes? Together, so you're not tempted to fiddle. Dear Lord, thank you that even all the way back at Adam and Eve, you had a plan to bring us back to you. Thank you that Jesus became king and that he is your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, and as promised, sorry, Helen, can we go across a couple of slides? We're going to one last time sing the song that's helping us remember Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And remember, we can sing it out loud. So if you'd like to join us in singing this together, grown-ups too, pop your masks on. We'll stand up together. We'll practice singing the song. And then remember, there are minties on the line for whoever can recite the verse for me after.
Please stand.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do 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 Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do 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 do. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do 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 do. Proverbs 3:5-6. Please be seated.
All right, Minties are on the line. We'll do an. We'll see if there are any under 18 takers first. Goodness me, Brandon, You couldn't be more keen than that, mate. Come on up. All I see is this enthusiastic. Oh, yeah, I can do it. All right, Brianna. For a minty, mate. Ready?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6.
You!
Enjoy. Well, we've set the bar. Anyone else want to have a go? There's more minties. I've got a big packet. All right, Audrey, come on.
Lean on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight.
Mate. Nailed it. Have a minty. Over 18s category? Does any grown up want to? Can any grown up do it and get a minty? Yeah, all right, Steph. I mean, you just sang it.
I'm doing this on behalf of my son, and he does know it because when I practice at home, he sings every word along. It's a little Judah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6.
Now, friends, we'll finish the contest there for the sake of time in the rest of the service. We've got other things to do, but I've still got plenty of minties. So, grown-ups or kids, if you're really hankering for a minty, come see me afterwards, tell me the verse, and I'll give you one. There's plenty to give away, okay? But for the next slide, we have our second Bible reading. Thanks, Tori.
Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around Him was so large that He got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught many things by parables, and His teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, so that the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with great joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has been given more, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Great to see you all, and especially the visitors. Welcome. It's great to be here. It's great to see all the children, isn't it? Having such fun and learning about God and the kingdom of God. Let me begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that as we come to your word now, that in the passage that I've chosen here, that we might be able to hear you speaking to us as Jesus encourages his hearers to do. And so we just pray that you would open our ears, our inner spiritual ears. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the biblical writers often refer to body parts. And sometimes it's to make an important observation or to illustrate a biblical truth. For example, a few examples, in Isaiah 52, we read, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald." Or in James chapter 3 and verse 6, "The tongue is a fire." Or Matthew 6, 22, "The eye is the lamp of the body." And Matthew 10, "Even the hairs on your head have been counted." And in this passage today, the passage I'm not I've taken a small passage than have been in the readings. Jesus says, anyone who has ears to hear should listen. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen. Now, here comes the technology bit. Now, so our Bible reading today is about nothing. No? Whoops. Oh, the ears not yet. Yeah. You can do that. Ah, there's the ears. Isn't that great? We've got an ear. Well, and so it's about ears and about how well God is speaking to us. So don't miss that point. If we read through the letter of James, we would see that James teaches us that there's a spiritual connection between the heart and the tongue. And Mark 4 teaches us that there's also a connection between the heart and the ear. So verse 3, Jesus says, chapter 4 and verse 3, Jesus says, listen, listen. In verse 9, Jesus says, anyone who has ears to hear should listen. And then in verse 12, Jesus speaks of those who may listen and listen and yet not understand. In verse 20, towards the end of Mark chapter 4, he speaks of those who hear the word, welcome it, and produce a crop. So listening moves on to action and doing something. So in the opening verses of Mark 4, Jesus, as we heard read, was again teaching by the sea, and he was drawing a big crowd. There were thousands and thousands that were coming to him, and we're told that he taught in parables. Now, parables are the most striking feature of Jesus' teaching. And parables have been described as earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Now, there's an explanation on parables there, which I'm bypassing this morning, because I'm sort of a practical fellow, really. That would get us into a theological discussion, which probably we'll do on another day. But the practicals here is in verses 3 to 8 in what's called the parable of the sower. Now, the parable of the soils would be a better description, and there are all sorts of soils. And so some soils, and I went to Bunnings to take a picture of these. Sorry, I didn't realise that they're in that spot. So there are all sorts of different soils that you can get from a nursery. And if you want to grow something specific, it's probably a good idea to use the right soil. Well, in Jesus' day, a farmer would spread out his seed everywhere. It's not like today where they would grow them in furrows, but he would scatter the seed everywhere. He'd prepare the ground, and then he would just put the seed out. Now, how the seed grew would depend on where the seed landed, what sort of soil the seed landed on. And in Jesus' illustration, there are four types of soil that the seed lands on. First, it can land on the path. A path would have been a well-trodden bit of ground where the workers went to and fro. It could land on the rocky ground. And we see that in the passage, verses 5 and 6. It could land in the thorns, or the seed could land in the good and productive soil. Well, our lives are described as being like soils. The fruit or the outcome of our life will depend on what type of soil we are. So the kingdom of God grows, the kingdom of God works through the speaking of the gospel. It breaks into this world like seed being sown by a farmer. And it is spread out. And it is spread out to everyone, but not everyone will accept it. How will that work for us here today? As we sit here and listen, could I encourage you to listen? To really listen. And you probably know and realize yourself that there's a difference between hearing and listening. When we listen, we're engaging with what we're hearing. You would know that by in your chats with people, talking to somebody, perhaps at morning tea at church or somebody that you meet somewhere or other. It's not easy to listen, is it? It's very hard to listen. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you might be thinking about, you know, what's for morning tea? What is there to eat? You know, have I got time to cook the lunch when we get home? If you're really freakish, you might be thinking about the AGM next week. Or you might be just waiting to get a word in. You know, you've got this word that you, these things you want to say, and you just can't wait to get it in. So you're not really listening. You're just waiting for whoever you're talking to draw breath. And as soon as they take a breath, you dive in. You've done that before? I can see by a few smiles that a few of you might actually do that. Well, if we really listen, we'll tune in to what people are saying. We will try and clarify things. We'll say, oh, well, did you mean this when you said that? And I didn't understand that. What do you mean by it? Well, transferring all that to the spiritual realm, when we really listen to the Bible and to sermons and to people speaking about Christian Bible spiritual things, when we really listen, things will become clear. We will understand like we've never understood before. And so Jesus says, hey, listen. He means that a spiritually alert heart and a hungry mind are needed to understand what Jesus is teaching. What is our role in helping people to understand what Jesus is teaching? Well, we sow the seed and we spread it out everywhere. We speak words from God. And we scatter our words around so that others are given the opportunity to hear, to really hear and respond. And of course, responses will vary. And that's really not our concern. Our assignment is to sow and to sow generously. It is God who is responsible for the harvest. So let's not get our roles confused. And so then Jesus explains the four soils. So the first soil, some of the is sown to lives that are hard. And we read that in verses 14 and 15 as Jesus explains to his disciple. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So the sower in this story is Jesus and anyone who shares the gospel. The seed is the word of God. The hard path represents hard-hearted or tough-minded individuals. The word comes to them. And notice, immediately it is snatched away. This person, very sadly, is resistant to and unresponsive to God's word. Like skeptics, they dismiss the word without giving it careful consideration. They are hardened against the word of God for whatever reason. Well, secondly, the soil of some lives is shallow. And we see that in verses 16 and 17. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word, but at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. And the soil, this life, is initially welcoming and received with great joy and happiness. But the soil is rocky, the soil is thin, and for a while it might show signs of maturity and growth. But the soil is not deep enough to let the seed grow. So this soil is shallow, and it's not possible that it will develop deep roots. What happens is that something comes along, some problem or opposition, some difficulty, and these people immediately fall away. Well, thirdly, the soil of some lives is distracted. This soil is covered by thorns, perhaps like the lantana or the crown of thorns. This group are keener. They receive the word, and the plants grow for a while, but are eventually distracted by worry or by wealth, by the craving of other things, by the craving of more things. You know, I've just got to have this, and I've just got to have that, and I've just got to move on to this. And that, of course, ends up being a distraction. And so theirs is partial commitment, which is really no commitment at all. Imagine being partially committed to your marriage, or partially committed to parenting, or partially committed to a race that you're entered into, or partially committed to a job. For this group, the present life is more important to them than the life to come. Having stuff is more important than having a saviour. And they, very sadly, don't stick. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says that those who continue in the faith are really my disciples. So that is why it's important how we finish. We have to start well, of course. Starting well means submitting our life to Christ and going on from there. But we have to finish well, too. And that means actually finishing. Keeping on, keeping on, not giving up or becoming lukewarm. Well, fourthly, the soil of some lives is fruitful. And we see that in verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what is sown. This final soil is notably distant, different from the first three. This soil represents those who really listen and hear the word. They accept the word and they begin to bear fruit. Tribulation and persecution doesn't deter them. They're not put off by hard times. They're not distracted by wanting more of everything that the world offers so readily. Their hearing is active and not passive. They aggressively pursue the word. They allow it to take root in their life, and they rejoice over its growth in their life. And so fruit will be produced. And John 15:5 says, "The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit." I think there's something more that's important here that I need to mention. It has to do with being and doing. We have to be before we do. We don't please God by doing without first being. We are to be a disciple or a follower or a Christian or born again or good soil, however we want to describe being a child of God. We have to be before we do. It's an important point. We have to be before we do. And so we have to really ask ourselves, which soil am I? Am I the hard-hearted soil? Dismissive of God, straight out. Don't give him a thought. Am I shallow, the shallow soil, put off by adversity? You know, the merest thing that comes along puts me off track. Or are we easily distracted by wealth or the good life? Well, God calls us to be faithful, and he calls us to be fruitful in that order. And God taps people on the shoulder, does it all the time. He's been doing it since the beginning of time. He taps people on the shoulder and calls them to come back to himself. And he could be doing that today, calling people into a friendship with him. People here, someone here. And he longs for them. And if it's you he's tapping, he longs for you to be the good soil. Those who hear the word, accept it, produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what is sown. Those who have ears to hear, let him hear. I'll be around after the service if anybody would like to chat with me about any of this. And so let me just pray for you now. Father in heaven, we just pray for each of us. We know that you scatter your word around. We just pray, Father, that the soil it lands on in our life will be the good soil. And so we pray if there are any who are thinking about you and moving towards committing themselves to you, that today might be the final step in that process. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us quieten our hearts before God. Let us pray. Thank you that you are a gracious and loving God. Your love for us is more than what we can fathom. Thank you for looking beyond our faults and failures and loving us with an unconditional love. Thank you for being our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Thank you for your forgiveness and the gift of new life. Please forgive us when our patience wears thin and when we get irritable or angry. Please forgive us when fear and worry gets to us. Please give us the grace not to be impatient when things don't go according to our expectations, but in everything to learn to trust in you. Lord, we pray we will choose peace over worry, that we will choose to forgive those who may have wronged us and not hold on to bitterness or unforgiveness. At the start of each new day, that we will recognize you above all else, that we will choose to set aside time daily to spend with you. We give you thanks for the Epping congregation. We pray that many will be restored to you through this church and that your name will be glorified. We pray for Apollo as he gets baptized today, that Simon and Lana, along with his grandparents and godparents, will encourage and teach him your ways. We pray Apollo will never be ashamed of the gospel and know that it is through the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you have given our churches to teach scripture in Rosemeadow and Appin Public Schools. Thank you for the leadership of this church. We especially thank you that this church has remained faithful in teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for the upcoming AGM next Sunday. We pray for all those appointed will be faithful in serving you. Lord, please keep your word firmly planted within us. Help us to keep focused on what is right and pure. In Jesus' name, amen. Say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
All right, friends. The Bible tells us that God is the source of everything that is good, and children are his gift, and he entrusts them to parents with the responsibility of nurturing them in his ways. God wants all of our children to experience a loving home, to gain wisdom, to live generously for the good of all, and to grow in faith, and of course, at last, to come and share in his eternal kingdom. And the Lord Jesus himself said this so well when he, having a go at his disciples, said instead, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The Bible also tells us that without Jesus, we humans are far from God. We are mired, stuck in sin. But through the good news, the gospel, God addresses each one of us and calls us back to himself, resulting in a profound change. And the act of baptism is a beautiful symbol of that change. Ordinary water is used to point to an extraordinary work which God does in cleansing us from sin and giving us a new heart to trust and serve in him through the death and resurrection of his Son. Baptism provides a public opportunity to turn to Christ and to express a personal trust in him and what he has done for us, and, as we will pray later, to ask for the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. So it's appropriate that we now pray to the God and Father through our Lord Jesus Christ that he will grant to Apollo what he cannot have by nature, that he may be born again by the Holy Spirit and be made a living member of Jesus' church. I'll lead us. Let's pray that together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your great love, you have called us to know you and to trust you. Increase this knowledge and strengthen our faith. Grant that Apollo may be born again by the Holy Spirit, cleansed from all sin, and inherit your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, just a couple more words of explanation for what's going on here. Baptism is a sign of something extraordinary which God does, a physical sign of a spiritual reality. It is not, as some think it, and almost a get kids into heaven insurance policy. That's not how baptism works. Baptism in itself is just water. This is ordinary water. I got it out of the tap 5 minutes before church started. I made it a little bit warm, so it's hopefully not too shocking. But the water is an ordinary sign which points to the extraordinary thing which God does by dying with Christ and being raised with him. We die to sin and are raised, cleansed to eternal life, at peace with God. Now, baptism is not a magic thing. It's not like you just get splashed and all of a sudden you get to heaven or you're a Christian. it's only effective when we receive it by faith. Apollo will have to, as he grows up, put his own faith in the Lord Jesus for himself. And of course, we've got the rite of confirmation much later to show that step. But for now, entirely appropriately, his parents and godparents are going to speak on his behalf, like they do for most things in his life, and confess faith on his behalf in the Lord Jesus, because they as a family trust in Jesus. So, it's an appropriate segue. I'll get Lana, Simon, and Apollo and godparents to come on up as well. Come stand up the front. So I'm now going to ask you guys to confess your own faith in Jesus first. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ, trusting in the gracious promises of God? Yep, that'll do. Great. Are you willing to sponsor Apollo, answering for him now and accepting responsibility for his Christian upbringing in the life of the church? Excellent. Okay, so now these next questions, you're speaking on Apollo's behalf. Okay? Do you follow Jesus? Do you repent of your sins? Do you reject selfish living and all that is false and unjust? Do you renounce Satan and all that is evil? Okay. Almighty God, deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light of Christ to his everlasting kingdom. Now, friends, Apollo has been brought here for us, before us, for baptism. And so it's appropriate that we as a church together confess the faith into which he is being baptized. I'll put the words of the creed up on the screen. Let's together as a whole congregation confess the faith that Apollo is being baptized into and that his sponsors are confessing. Together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay, so again, speaking on Apollo's behalf, do you affirm that faith as your own? Will you follow Jesus faithfully and obey his commands throughout your life with God's help? And so you ask for baptism in this faith that you've just affirmed? Excellent. Let's pray. Merciful God, for Jesus Christ's sake, grant that Apollo, whom we baptize with this water, may be saved through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. May he die to sin and rise again to righteousness. May your Spirit live and work in him, that he may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died and rose again for us all. Amen. All right, we're going to need Apollo for this bit. Dear friends, there's now an opportunity for us as a congregation to speak in welcome to Apollo, and we can do this together using the words on the screen. Apollo, God has called you into his church together. We therefore receive and welcome you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, as a child of the same heavenly Father, and as an inheritor with us of the kingdom of God. And Apollo, you've been called to take up your cross and follow Jesus. So don't be ashamed to fight under his banner and confess your faith in him. Let me pray for you. Apollo, we pray you would fight bravely under Jesus's banner against sin, the world, and the devil, and continue Christ's faithful soldier and servant to your life's end. Let's continue in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that through the life and death and resurrection of your Son, you've brought us from death to life. Enable us by your Spirit to resist the power of sin and give ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. May we not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and so please you in every way. And Father, we pray for the parents and godparents of Apollo. We pray that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and love, that they may teach him by word and example to fulfill the promises made in his name. And in all our homes, give us the joy that comes from being faithful followers of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Friends, you might want to welcome Apollo with a bit of applause. We've also got a moment now. If you'd like to come take a photo, that's fine. You can come down the front and snap a couple of photos before we move on. We can always stage it and take more photos after. That's fine. You guys can go grab a seat. And we're almost finished with the formal part of our time together this morning. We're going to, thanks be to God, sing together one last hymn. And again, like we have been this whole service, if you'd like to join us in singing together as a congregation, please put a mask on. Friends as well, just so you know, we're not passing around a basket or a plate to take up a collection, though if you would like to give via cash to support the work of ministry here or further afield with our mission partners, there's a Perspex box by the door you came in, though especially if you're visiting, you feel under no obligation to do anything to put in there. That's fine. Friends, won't you stand and we'll sing together.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all.
Let's finish with these words from 2 Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Dear friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. Kids, if you've still got your activity packs, remember the sheet's yours, but pop the clipboard and the pencils in the sleeve and bring it back over to the corner. If you'd like to hang around for a little bit, that's fine. Otherwise, have a great week.